Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. I remind you, Sunday is kind of our time that we put in our commitment for our building fund. There's slips of paper on the back. If you've lost yours or something, you can text Randall, text Nassim, and then I don't know, maybe we'll have some input by Sunday afternoon. We have an afternoon service, lunch on Sunday. Remember that. I also want to tell you, Vacation Bible School got flyers, has the gospel on the back, and just begin to pray about it, and let's reach children for the glory of God. Reach children for the glory of God. I want us to intensely pray that God will be honored, God will be glorified. Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Let's put our heart into it and love that, and that's the place where I'm probably not going to say, kids, be quiet, because they probably aren't going to be. So, but we're going to have a delightful time in the Lord, August 3rd through the 7th. I believe those are the dates. Yes. All right. Pray for Ron. He's teaching the boys. Pray for Deb. She's teaching the girls. And pray for Stephen. He's leading the skit. And so we just, a lot going on, and it's we need your prayers. And Ellen still needs help with decorating. So if you want to help make things Irish-looking, and let's do that. I'll also talk to you later. I think it would seem natural that James Wilson might be our benefactor. And James is a great guy. I'll contact him. He'll make some video for us. He's in Ireland. We support James. I love James. And I know this. He'll be super responsible. James operates on a dime and a prayer. He's not like raking it in, right? And you got to love James. And so I think that might be a natural thing. I think he'll send us things about Ireland and help us really just be excited about the kids. So I will contact him this week. He's super responsive. Proverbs chapter 2, let's read all 22 verses. And I know, maybe I'm nuts, but I think we are just going to get through this chapter tonight. Title of the message, The Benefits of Wisdom. The Benefits of Wisdom. Let's read this good chapter of wisdom. My son, remember Solomon writing to his son, but this applies to us all, but that's why it's my son. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou'll incline thy ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her, seekest wisdom, that's wisdom is in the female persona here, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, and judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. Verse 10, When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Again, this is, it feels good. It's good introduction. It's good foundation. It's good basic truths of wisdom that'll help us. And so I want you to notice just a few things tonight. Look at verses 1, 3, and 4. It uses the word if. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver. It's conditional. And understand this, there are promises of God that are promises of God without condition. These if statements, and you'll see later, it's if then, that's where we get a lot of our, you know, computer thinking, if then statements you'll put in computers. I'm not saying we necessarily got it from the Bible, but it's the way our brains operate, right? They design computers after our brains, the CPUs, right? So it is the if statements. And so understand this, it's so important to understand that things are conditional. If we listen to God, if we hear God, if we do what he says, and we'll find out those blessings. It is not God punishing us. It is not God zapping us. It's a reality of life. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow good things, you'll reap good things. You do what God says, you will benefit. I'll say it later because there's a special point, but I just want to say it now because it's on my heart. And I've dealt with it, and I want to be clear. I know, maybe not as much as you know, I know I'm a little intense. I'm going to wrestle everybody and just slam them down and let's do what's right. All right? That's the way I am. That's how I am. I wish I could be relaxed like some of you. Okay, so I want you to know this. And so I know the way I preach, if you don't know God and understand God, you'll think, this is bad. If you don't listen to him, it is, but I'm telling you this, everything God says, beautiful. When God warns us of sin, it's good. When God tells us don't, that's the best thing. When God says do this, that's the best thing. Do not let my personality, do not let my intensity make you forget that everything God instructs is wonderful. Do you understand that? If you somehow misunderstand me, so let me give you an example. When God says forsake all, you could be like, whoa. Who wants that, right? It's the best thing we could ever do, Jacob. He didn't say it was easy. But he will bless us, and it's the best thing we could ever do is listen to God. Everything he says, don't you ever forget that. You may say, whoa, pastor's in a bad mood today. Maybe. But God's not. What God says is for our good, his glory and our good. Everything he says, when he says don't, that's best for us to listen. When he says do, that's best for us to listen. When he says you should seek after wisdom, whoa, it's the best thing we could ever do. I want you to never forget that. That's how good God is. His instruction is never so you go off the cliff. It's not. I'm going to die because of my sin, not because of God's failure. It's important. And I know. You know, I get all crazy sometimes up here, and you might think, ah, this is horrible. Don't you forget, I want you to remember this. This is a love letter. How much God loved us that he would tell us, you need to listen to me. And so when he gives these conditional statements, I beg you. I told Mike tonight, I said, I wish I could be broken for these people like I would for my own kids. Everybody we met tonight is on their way to hell. It wasn't one Christian we met. A lot of people answered the door. One guy was super nice. He wanted to wish us well. And he knew he was lost. He said, I'm from Kentucky. That's kind of Baptist country. I said, are you born again? He said, yes and no. And I said, you know what that means. He goes, I do. That means no. And nicer than me. It's not like a high bar. But niceness isn't going to get him to heaven. I need to work on my intensity. I need to, you know, take a chill pill sometimes. But I need to amp up my intensity with the love of Christ. We must understand this. What we deal with is the most important element in all the world. It's eternity. It's Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? There's nothing more important. There's nothing more important. You know, my little granddaughter's in the hospital, and we're going to trust the Lord with all that. You know, she's got RSV. She's 6 weeks old. You know, she's struggling. And we think God's going to bring her through it and whatever. But I will tell you this. What we deal with the gospel of Jesus Christ is more important than Xenia's health. I love Xenia. You want to be there with your kids and a mother's heart and all that. But I cannot let the outcome of Xenia discourage me from what the most important thing is, and that's Jesus Christ and his gospel. God cares for my granddaughter. I know that. I don't worry about that. Doesn't mean that the outcome is going to be what I want. I think it's going to be. But I want you to understand this. It's everything about God is good. Everything about the Bible is good. If you approach the Bible without going, oh, and sometimes it says, you puke, right? There's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. Then that's a good thing. Thank you, Lord, for being honest with me. Thank you for reminding me that it's you're the one that's good and I'm not. And boy, if I had that Luke 7 love, I would love more if I realized I was forgiven more. But if I'm always trying to prove I'm good, I probably won't love God the right way, because I'll say, he did a little tune-up on me. No, he did an overhaul and you were dead and he gave you new life in Christ. And there's not one person better than another in this room. Do you understand that? It's God that's good. And I want you to know this, his Bible's good, and the preachers can mess things up, and preachers with our spirit can mess things up. Everything about the Bible's good, amen? It is. I mean, the goodness of God that would tell us that we are hopeless without him, that's good. That's honest. And I know the final result that of damnation, I'm not saying that's good, but his warning is good. Is that not good? Just talk to the Holy Spirit in a Bible study today. You know, Holy Spirit, you know, is of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's good. Everything about God's good. Don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever take my intensity and go, man, God is, he's uptight. No, I am, but God's not. And I need to relax. I need to relax a little bit. It's so important to me. Will you grasp that? Will you understand that one thing? Do not let my, when I'm in the flesh, it's so wrong. You got to understand, be glad you're not me, because when I mess up, it's a lot more destructive and public. But God's just that good. Can we believe that? Can we live that? And I don't have all the answers, but I just know this. God's only good, and he's good about everything. Second thing I want you to see, look at verse 1. Hide my commandments with thee. Look at this. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. And then there's going to be the end statement, but he says, hide my commandments with thee. I take you here, you guys are familiar with this. Some of you may not be. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. Against thee, excuse me, against thee. And the thee is God, but it says thee. So tonight, I've got this. And it's not a competition. Do not raise your hand if you don't want it. I've given this out to a lot of people. This is 100 verses every Christian should know. I have pamphlets that'll give you 400 verses every Christian should know. I learned 400 verses driving to work every day. And I'm not recommending that's how you do it, but it worked for me. And you want to have victory over sin? Jesus quoted Scripture. Why don't you start? 70-year-old told me this week, they said, well, I'm not good at memorizing. I said, well, don't stop trying. I said, of course, we're aging and our body's falling apart. You probably can't memorize as good as you did before, but you ought to try. Right? Don't just give up. Stop telling yourself you can't memorize. I just believe in reinforcement. How about a little positive reinforcement that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me? I may not be able to memorize as good as I used to, but I still probably can memorize something. All right, so I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to have Steve. You raise your hand. You say, I want 100 verses every Christian should know. And Steve, I want you to take note. I'm going to take note. I want you to raise your hand high, because I might ask you, how many verses have you memorized? All right, raise your hand. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for you. I know. Then it's like, oh, you're making people perform in front of others. Ah. You know what? Memorize the Bible, even if it's for others. You'll benefit. And so it's good. And then when you memorize those 100, and here's what I like about the 100 verses every Christian should know. It's by theme. It's Bible inspiration. It's believing. It's forgiveness. It's hell. It's family. It's got so many topics, and you'll be able to memorize them topically, and it will help you. It will be powerful. God will use it. And the Bible tells us in John 16 that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance those things which we have learned. Everybody that witnesses will know those things, right? And so it is, okay, I'll tell you this, Steve, go up into the, it's a little rough there, you know, you're taking your life in your own hands. I'm going to clean the track room here soon. Go up into the track room. When you go into my office, won't you enter that door into the track room, to immediately on that left shelf, on the second, the middle shelf, there should be more of those up there, okay? So, and then we got two more. Do we have more than two? More than two? We have three. We have four. Do I hear five? We got five. Yep, so, all right. So I don't know how many we have. I'll print some more out, and you remind me. I'll print some more out. I'll have them. But I want to tell you this. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I want my sword to be available, and phones are great because you can, you know, you can look up a word. But, you know, being able to wield the sword. Now, you must be careful because I've wielded it too much, and people go, you know, I don't care how much Bible you know. Overdid it. We're not trying to impress people with what Bible we know. We want to care for their soul. Never forget about this. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God, but I'll tell you this, we need to love them, we need to care for them, and never get separated from your desire, your burden to help them. The best way we can help people is by sharing with them the Word of God. The best way we can help ourselves is by hiding God's Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him, and Jesus was the perfect example. Later, you can go back and look. Matthew chapter 4, he quoted from Deuteronomy every single time that he thwarted the devil. Not that he needed to. He was setting a good example. That's the best way to thwart sin is by God's word. And so we want wisdom. Hide it in your heart. And so just know this. Where does wisdom come from? It's from God's word. Just look at this in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. These are the words of God that were eternal words. And hide my commandments. It's in the Word of God. It's in His commandments. And that's where wisdom is at. Wisdom is from God. Wisdom is from the Word of God, right? So just know that. Seek after wisdom, he said. It's almost an obsession. Let's read verses 2 through 4 and tell me if you don't pick up like this is like some kind of obsession. And I'll explain to you how I think this could be okay, because seeking wisdom is seeking the Lord. So I never want you to be seeking knowledge apart from God. But when it becomes obsessive, we're going to read verses 2 through 4, but it's sort of like an obsession that I'm so driven to know wisdom, and Christ is wisdom, God is wisdom. When I seek wisdom, I'm seeking God. So I think we could be obsessed with that and not be sinful. Don't turn it into idolatry. Verse 2. He says, you know, so that, verse 2, thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. You see, this takes some effort. It takes some diligence. This doesn't just happen by sitting in church. You want God's wisdom? You got to apply it. You got to do something about it. Sitting in church, it's good. Not anywhere like seeking and digging in the Word of God. Look at verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. It's like I'm crying after knowledge. Had a man this week. It was just a beautiful time. I was with him. And had no idea what was about to happen. Burst out in tears. And he said, I don't like to cry. And so I don't either. We were both crying. He was crying more than me. I felt better. So old school. Is that not old school? And it was beautiful. It was about the Lord. Do we cry after the Lord? Are we broken? Do we want to see Christ? Do we want to know? If thou criest after knowledge. And I know that's with your heart, with your voice, but it's also with your emotions. And lifteth up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. We are in such a world today that it's kind of like this. Well, I'm going to go up to the jewelry store and buy some silver. That's not what it's talking about. It's like seeking for silver. It's like mining for it. It's like you're doing the digging. And if you're digging for silver, unless you find a vein, you're going to dig and get more dirt than silver. And you keep on a digging. You keep on a digging because you go, you know what? There's silver in there. I'm going to seek for wisdom. I don't care if I don't get it the first day, the second week, the second month. I will not give up because I know I need wisdom. You seek for wisdom as silver. You're mining for it. You're just, I need the wisdom of God. And if we're not reminded for our need every day, every time we fail, do not be discouraged by failure. Be thankful that God highlights that you failed. Then make it right with God. Stop dwelling on your failure. You didn't find any? Okay, sorry for that goose chase. I will print some more and have them. Thank you for that, Steve. I sure appreciate that. And I'll print some more. 100 verses every Christian should know. I'll bring them on Sunday. But, folks, do we really want wisdom? I don't know. It's a treasure. Look at verse 5. I want to show you verse 5. It's the if-then statement, right? Look at verse. If we do these things, if we really seek for wisdom, then. There's two thoughts here. Look at verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I love these two things. I constantly review the fear of the Lord because I believe it's a misunderstood with maybe all of us. And it's going to be a lifelong pursuit for me to understand the fear of God. It's good. If I understand the fear of the Lord, I'll run to Him. If I ever preach the fear of the Lord causes you to run from God, I have misrepresented God. The fear of the Lord is good. I do believe there's a place that the fear of the Lord is like, I don't want to mess with Him. But I don't think that's at the heart of it. The fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It's that we will understand, and it's this, understand this. He said, if we seek wisdom, then, verse 5, shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. If you've ever been confused about the fear of the Lord, that's okay. Don't get frustrated, but we need wisdom. Seek it all your life. The longer we live, the older we get, we should better understand the fear of the Lord so that we walk with God in a way that is honorable to Him and that we have what God would call good fear of Him. I want that, and I'm going to constantly be studying it. I'm going to constantly be learning it. But it is seeking truth, seeking His Word, that I might understand the fear of the Lord and I might find the knowledge of God. It's to know Him. Remember, we talked about this in Philippians 3, and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering and be made conformable to His death. That's to know Christ. I want to know God. And when the Bible uses that and find the knowledge of God, it's talking about just the inner workings of God so we can appreciate Him. I'm telling you, you'll get tired of this. You need to really know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You want to know Jesus Christ? How does He think? What does He do? Where does He go? When does He talk to the Father? How often does He? How does He operate? What does He do? Because our goal is to be like Christ. I'm like a little kid in a candy shop when it comes to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John now. You know, I'm just enjoying the feeding of the 5,000 as though I know nothing. This is such a great story. But then I want to back up and I want to go, well, what do I learn about Jesus? How do I replicate His character? I can't replicate the miracle, but I can have the heart of Christ that led to Him feeding the 5,000. It wasn't to show off. He cared. I want you to know Christ. I want you to know Him. You see, I want us to focus on that when we talk to people. I love this guy named Jeremy tonight that was from Kentucky. He knew he was lost. Super nice guy. I told him, I said, Jeremy, I want you to know Christ. I said, I don't know what happened in your life, but you've never been impressed with Jesus Christ enough to surrender in faith to Him. And it should terrify you. I said, Jeremy, Christianity is about knowing Jesus Christ. It's not about going to church. It's not about being baptized. It's about knowing Christ. I want the knowledge of God. It's not information. It's to know Him to where it won't be that big a deal when I leave this earth and go see Him in heaven. That's the goal. I know we have not attained, but it's to know him. I want you to understand that. So look at verse 6. This is where I tell you, seeking wisdom is seeking the Lord. So I think the obsession is we need to be seeking the Lord. It needs to be our whole passion. And remember this. When I say that, view it as good. Maybe I'm a little extreme sometimes, then ignore me. But I think we ought to be seeking God. I don't know. Just be honest. How many have a struggle with when I say we ought to seek God obsessively? Is that too strong? How many say, yes, a little strong? Okay, I mean, I don't mean, not in any sinful way, but it's this. Not so that people think good of us, but so that we would know him. Seeking wisdom is seeking the Lord, because God is wisdom. Our church will be a different church. We will have a greater impact. You want the power of God? It's by knowing him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. So I told you this. So this is my rant earlier, but everything about God is good. And I tell you this, blessings are especially for the righteous. Now let's look at verses 7, 8, and 9. So, you know, I've already talked about everything about God is good, but let's look at verse 7, 8, and 9. He layeth sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. A buckler would be a shield, and it'd be a handheld shield, more round. There would be like body shields, and those would serve a good purpose. But a buckler was more of a round shield that would be more portable, and where you can respond and deflect, you know, the wiles of the enemy, the darts of the enemy. You know, we're talking like in real war. But look at this in verse 7. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Do you understand this? The way God says, I will be a buckler. You walk uprightly and I will deflect the evil from attacking you. And when it does, we can trust the Lord that that's for his honor and his glory. You understand this? He will be a buckler for us. Do what's right. Never should we think, I quit. Didn't benefit from this, so I quit. Doing right is always good. He says this, look at verse 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. I remind you again, the only way to be righteous is you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. I told a Roman Catholic that tonight. Had to be in his 80s. And I told him, I asked him, I said, why should God let you in heaven? He said, because I'm a good person. Later he told me he's a Roman Catholic. And I said, I have grave concern for you. I said that you aren't going to heaven. And you have enough religion to send you to hell. And I know, you say, man, I wouldn't do that. Maybe I shouldn't. I told him that because heaven's only for the righteous, and we're only made righteous through Christ, not our goodness. I told him, I've told him this, you've heard this before. I said, you know, if I rescued you from a fire, you'd remember my name. If Jesus is the one that your hope is in, you wouldn't forget his name, and you wouldn't talk about your goodness. I told him, I said, I'm only telling you that because the devil wants you to be 90% there and split hell wide open. He said, we're done with this conversation. My heart broke. Unless God is uber gracious, it may be the last time he's ever confronted with false religion. I love Roman Catholics. I hate Roman Catholicism. I love Roman Catholics. Don't you forget that. But boy, is it a deceit of the devil. Like all false religions. But that one uses the name of Christ. Roman Catholics will tell you, I agree with what you said. And I help them understand, no, you don't. And I know you don't have to do that. But God's only a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And you can only walk uprightly if you're in Christ. This is not something to toy with. This is so serious. It's eternity. Don't do it for what God will do for you. Do it because you want Christ and only Christ. Look at verse 8. Then shalt thou understand righteousness. Verse 8, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. It's one of the blessings. He will bless us. It is everything about God is good. And he says this, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good work. It's another then statement. We do this. I want you to look at the benefits of wisdom and the knowledge of God. We're going to move on it. Verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. It needs to be pleasant. I told you this. Look at the Bible as wonderful. Look at the Bible as whatever, you know, your favorite food is, right? You're like, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to eat. And it's like, I can't wait to just, it's pleasant. It's pleasant unto the soul. I'm going to tell you, just so you understand some honesty. I had two Bible studies this week. I so didn't want to have them. And best Bible studies I've had in a long time. One Bible study, this is how terrible I am. I suggested, hey, I think maybe we should take a break during the summer. And they said, why would you suggest that? I said, because I think I'm hurting you because it seems to get worse every time I show up. And they said, no, we want you to come. And God just convicted me. It was a great Bible study. All I'm telling you is I've got to remember that God's ways are better. Another Bible study, I was like, oh, Father, I pray he'll forget. You're like, well, you're joking. Lauren's infected me. No, I'm just kidding, Lauren. That's so terrible. It's not. Lauren, I feel the same way sometimes, okay? I'm just telling you that so you feel, you know, that's a bad joke. It wasn't that. Don't. But it is... But I love that I have them scheduled. You know why? Because I'll show up for the schedule. And then you know what I find out? God shows up way bigger than me. I want you to understand this. It is, it needs to be pleasant to the soul. Somehow, I'd gotten so self-centered, selfish, negative, that it wasn't pleasant. I love the Lord. You know how good God is? Those two Bible studies refreshed me like none have in a long time. It has nothing to do with me. You're like, we know. That's how good God is. I want you to remember this. Remember how good God is. He steps up in a glorious way. And I want you to challenge yourself. If you're struggling enjoying the Lord, ask him that his ways would be pleasant unto you. His ways are good. His ways are pleasant. And I get all cranky and negative and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? You know what I think? This is wrong. God did not show up because I deserved it. It was his grace. He cares more for those people than I do. And you know what I love? He stirred my heart. He cared for me. And he said, he didn't say, you bum. That's what I say. But God didn't say, you bum. He says, aren't I wonderful? And I go, you are. Let's go. Let's go at it again. I tell you this to say, remember, God is pleasant. If we forget that, we just might not serve him. I want you to see God in spite of you. I want you to see the benefits. Look at this, verse 11. This is so good. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. So discretion and understanding are in verse 11. Discretion. My front row scholars, anybody can tell me what discretion is? Front row scholars? Thank you for the eye contact without an answer. Appreciate that. That's so difficult. Discretion? Discretion is you'll have discernment. You will know what to do. You'll know what is right and wrong. You know, you'll be with friends. Everybody's like, come on now, come over here. And God will give you understanding of like, that's not good. You know, I probably shouldn't say this, right? A little spidey sense, right? No, Spider-Man has infected me too much, right? Whatever that is, right? It's just something to go, not good. Don't do it then. Trust that God is giving you discretion and understanding. You can always apologize to your friends and say, you know, I'm sorry. I wasn't at peace, and I know you guys did things that were good and righteous and holy. Please forgive me. I'm not trying to make a disturbance, but 99 times out of 100, when you have a sense that you shouldn't do it, that's God blessing you. That's wisdom. That's discretion. You want to have great discernment. You want to know what to do. Seek the Lord. Understanding. I want to understand the Bible. Lady told me tonight. She said, I've been a Christian since the day I was born. And I said, no, you weren't. I said, because you have to understand in order to be born again. And I said, she said, I went to Catholic school for 12 years. And I said, well, that's great. I said, how many babies were baptized in the Bible? She said, I don't know. I said, zero. Now, Mike did help me. I love this. Mike did exactly what I asked. I said, Mike, you're not allowed to say anything positive. And Missy said, man, he's good at that. And I said, Mike, you know, I'll say anything positive, but I want you to give me constructive criticism. Mike helped me. First time I've never considered this, and I know you're like, I can't believe that. You're so delusional. Mike didn't say it to be mean. He said it to be good, and it was so helpful for me tonight. And I realized that even when I repeat some of the things I say, because I'm a little sarcastic, if you haven't noticed. People don't know me when I'm at their door. I'm going to try to be very conscious of not being sarcastic to them. You know, when I say zero, right? I mean, that's kind of the way I am. Zero, nothing. I don't spit, you know. But I probably do it a little bit like, you know, but I don't make that noise. But Mike, that was super helpful for me. There's no place for sarcasm when I'm trying to reach a soul for Christ. I can do better. I don't know if I'll ever fix the intensity thing. Right? Mike noticed, he said, you did get closer to people. And I was like, Mike, you're supposed to pull me back, supposed to pull me back. But I'll tell you this, there's no place for sarcasm. Thank you for that. I need that help. You understand this? That's discretion. That's understanding. I want that. I want to be bold, but I want to be kind. I don't want to be sarcastic. I think sarcasm can have a place, but when people don't know you, it probably is not good. Thank you for that. It was a gift. And I will consider it. And it's going to, you know, I've got habits, and I've got to work on it, you know. And so, but it's good. It's good. Wisdom, discretion, understanding. Deliverance from bad men. This is what it says, verse 12. Look at this. To deliver thee from the way of evil men, evil man. From the man that speaketh froward things, wicked things, evil things, dishonest things, things that we ought not to be speaking. Froward, it's out of bounds, it's sinful, it's evil, it's not right. I'll just keep it that simple. Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of evil men. Wisdom will keep us from evil men. Now, ladies, you get your place in just a second. In verse 16. But wisdom will keep us from evil men. See, the Bible's super balanced, right? Evil men can hurt us and evil women can hurt us. Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. You're going to see the word froward a lot. Who leave the paths of uprightness. They leave the paths of uprightness. See, you're going to have to be very conscious of this. So what can happen is you can be walking with somebody and they can say, I'm a Christian too. And then they try to take you down a path that you know you shouldn't go. Don't fall for it. Pilgrim's Progress gives some great examples of that, does it not? It's like, oh, I'm a Christian too, right? And all of a sudden, shwing, you're going down the wrong path. It's this. Wisdom, listen to this. Wisdom will help us understand. There's nothing. We cannot let our guard down. We need to love one another. When someone says there's a Christian, you know, just enjoy that and bask in the camaraderie and the blessings of Christ. But it's this. It says, verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness. Just because somebody says they're a Christian doesn't mean they are. Watch this guy. He's a policeman. A new short thing. I know. I said, get over it. But he's a policeman, and he said, never believe what people say. Always watch what they do. That's what he said as a policeman. He goes, they're never telling the truth. That's what he said. Be careful. Be careful. Wisdom will deliver us from the evil man. Look at verse 14. These evil people rejoice to do evil. We don't want to be around people that rejoice to do evil. We want to reach them for Christ and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. You'll know the real person. And wisdom, the Bible says here, will deliver us from bad women. Look what it says in verse 16. And guys, you're going to see this as a theme. When God made Eve, it was a great blessing for Adam, and it was a great blessing for mankind. And I make a lot of jokes, but it is the most powerful creatures on earth are women, 100%. When you read this, what a bad woman can do, it is you want a good woman that'll help you. Wisdom will deliver thee from the strange woman. Not that she has three eyes. Wisdom will deliver us from the people, the women that don't love God. Look what men fall for. Verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Oh, hey, big boy. Right? It is, if anybody ever said that to me today, I pray I wouldn't be so foolish to think, oh, you're talking to me? I want to respond so weirdly that say, hey, you're the woman that's flattering with her lips. I read about you in Proverbs 2. I will not be sucked in. You're like, you do that? Yeah. I'm so flaky. I'm words of affirmation. And my wife can improve on that. You know, she's physical touch and acts of service. I'm telling you. And it's like, it's like heavy duty on physical touch and acts of service. Those words of affirmation, I have to write them out and say, tell me this. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. But you know what I do? You're exactly the woman I needed. And I don't want to listen to any words from any other woman. Men, run. Run. 17, here's the women. They forsake the guide of her youth. I want to tell young men this. You're looking for a wife. You should examine how they were when they were young. If they're trashing their parents and trashing their upbringing and just act like it's the worst thing under the sun, you probably should run. The Bible says wisdom will deliver us from those that forsake the guide of her youth and forget the covenant of her God. They forget God. You should go back and look. It's a big deal. Verse 18, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. I love this. It's from a commentator, Matthew Poole. He said, by wasting a man's vital spirits and shortening his life, this is how they kill us, by exposing him to many and dangerous diseases, which physicians have declared and proved to be the effects of inordinate lust, as also to the fury of jealous husbands or friends, and sometimes to the sword of civil justice, and undoubtedly without repentance to God's wrath and the second death. That's how they'll kill you. You'll get focused on a woman. You'll get focused on women. You'll find your satisfaction in women, and it'll destroy your life. It's not because women are bad. Evil women are. Understand that? Praise the Lord for godly women. The world is a better place for godly women. 19. None that go unto her, and that's really talking about physically, none that go unto her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. We want to have wisdom that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. And so walking in the paths, right paths, wisdom will help us to walk in the right paths. Wisdom will give us a longer life. I'll finish with that. Verse 21 and 22. It's this, for the upright shall dwell in the land. It's this, you'll dwell in the land, you'll live. I think there's eternal connotations there too. You'll dwell in the land, the upright. The only way to be upright is through Christ. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. The only way to be perfect, and I'm okay with that word meaning perfect, it's through Christ and his righteousness. It is, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. You see, I want us to remember this, and I was a little focused because I had a Bible study earlier today on it. The Holy Spirit will reprove of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. I want to warn people of the judgment of God, not because he's an ogre, but because he must be just. I told several people that tonight. He must be just. But those in this room tonight, a guy asked me, I didn't catch his question first, and he goes, because I talked about false religions, and he asked me, are Baptists false religion, right? Didn't he say something like that? I didn't quite understand it, because I was like, no, but but I said, no, sir, I said, there's a lot of Baptists that are sitting in Baptist churches that are going to split hell wide open, because I said, all they have is religion. They have tradition, they have religion, they're comfortable, it's the way of their life, but they don't have a personal relationship with Christ. I said, the devil loves any religion. That'll be enough to send you to hell. Wisdom. Wisdom. Remember this? James 1:5. If any man ask God for wisdom, he will give it to you liberally. Ask God for wisdom. We need wisdom, but I want you to know this. Remember, I talked this Sunday. Pray for your loved ones, but what's better? Obey God. Ask God for wisdom, but I'll tell you this, diligently seek it. Bust your tail to know God, and you'll be benefited. You'll benefit. Let's pray. Father,